In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, March 17th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. It's St. Patrick's Day, commemorating the great missionary to the Irish. In the words of Patrick, I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, and through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension. Today is also National Election Day for the nation of Israel. Current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told the Israeli news organization NRG he will not permit a Palestinian state under his watch. A Palestinian state, in his words, would be, quote, giving a base for attacks to the radical Islam against Israel, unquote. Netanyahu faces opposition leaders Isaac Herzog and Tzipi Livni in the elections. Meanwhile, two separate bomb attacks on churches killed 14 Christians in Pakistan over the weekend. Radical groups connected to the Taliban claimed responsibility. How long, O Lord? How long? Pray for the persecuted churches in Pakistan. Several recent studies are attempting to quantify the social costs of the breakdown of marriage in Western countries. A new study conducted in the UK found that women who have a child out of wedlock are 72% more likely to divorce than those who wait for marriage to have children. The Marriage Foundation also found that education and marriage age have little impact on lasting relationships. Also, the Relationship Foundation found that family breakdown will cost taxpayers in the UK £47 billion in 2015. In the providence of Almighty God, Hurricane Pam will rank as one of the most powerful hurricanes in history, matching Hurricane Camille and Hurricane Katrina in America. But this time, these 190-mile-per-hour winds hit the shores of one of the poorest countries in the world, Vanuatu. According to the nation's president, more than 90% of the buildings in the capital city were destroyed. Missionary Steve Gibb is calling for support and prayers for the believers in Vanuatu.
We're looking at immediate needs, trying to assess the damage, and then over the medium to long term is going to be raising funds to help rebuild schools, houses, churches that have all been widely destroyed by the cyclone. Our mission, which is Biblical Ministries Worldwide in Lawrenceville, Georgia, has set up an emergency fund called the Vanuatu Cyclone Relief Fund, and people can contact the mission and send their donations there.
Polycarp, the movie, received top awards at the Christian Worldview Film Festival over the weekend in San Antonio. The film that presented the story of the apostolic father and martyr of the Christian church received both the Audience Choice Award and Best Feature Film. Executive producer Jerry Henline told The Worldview he hopes this powerful story will strengthen the Christian faith of believers everywhere in this day in which we live.
This world's disdain for Christ and his followers hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Certainly true, of course, when Christ was crucified, as well as martyrs all through the years and even to the day we live. And so certainly I think it's not only a timeless film, but is a very timely film because of what we see happening in the world today.
Facebook has released a new set of community guidelines, including highly specific details concerning nudity and standards of modesty. The online social networking site is also tightening guidelines on posts relating to criminal violence and drugs. The Middle East Media Research Institute has published more photos of ISIS destroying buildings, artifacts, and images that have represented the Christian faith in the Middle East for thousands of years. In a statement provided last week, Iraq's Patriarch Louis Seiko said, quote, ISIS is burning everything, human beings, stones, and civilization, unquote. However, we must point out that removing Christian symbols and artifacts does not remove Christ from history or the present. Psalm 2 asks, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. NASA scientist Jay Famiglietti predicts only 1 year left on California's water supply. In a Los Angeles Times op-ed piece, Famiglietti points out that the state has lost 12 million acre-feet of reserves every year since 2011. The scientist provided no science-based solution for the drought. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth, and he makes grass grow on the hills. Academic freedom bills failed in four states this year. Montana's HB 321, South Dakota's SB 114, Indiana's SB 562, and Oklahoma's SB 665 faced significant pushback from the evolution cartel in the public schools. The bills would have provided freedom for teachers to present multiple viewpoints in the classroom on evolution and the origin of humans. The National Center for Science Education refers to these as, quote, anti-science bills, unquote. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20 says, "When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." In the wake of its bankruptcy filing, Family Christian Stores now faces a multi-million dollar suit from a group of 27 Christian publishers. How ridiculous is this? So much for 1 Corinthians 6:2, which says, "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints?" Newser reports on two goldfish in Scotland that pulled through cancer surgery in good shape. Their owner paid $750 for the operations on goldfish. "You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea." Psalm 8, 6 and 8. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, March 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson today here at generationswithvision.com. No doubt you've heard that, sadly, the American Baptist College has invited three people to address and to affirm, not just to address, but to affirm homosexual marriage in their Nashville, Tennessee campus, where 300 students are attending school. The worst offender in the mix is United Church of Christ Bishop Yvette Flunder, who is legally married to Shirley Miller, has been in a lesbian relationship with this woman for 30 years. And one of the leaders who is outspoken about this is Pastor W. Dwight McKissick of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. He joins me now on the telephone line about this upcoming event at the American Baptist College campus, Tuesday, March 17th. Thank you, Pastor McKissick, so much for your boldness and for joining us today on Generations Radio.
Glad to be with you, Adam.
How surprised were you when the president, Dr. Forrest Harris, initially allowed this debacle, this joke in terms of what Scripture says, to even be scheduled?
Adam, if someone asked me what was the greatest surprise of your life, I think this would be at the top of the list. I happen to have known who Yvette Flunder was because I have invited Daryl Foster to preach in our church, and he has addressed these issues. And most of our churches have people who are struggling with same-sex temptations or relationships, and he's provided counsel because he has been delivered and free from that lifestyle, and he has a ministry now, a very powerful ministry, by the way, regarding this. And he has a website where he notifies believers about Christians who are moving in this direction. So he'd done two or three articles about Bishop Yvette Flunder, so I was aware of who she was. What I didn't expect was to flip through the National Baptist Voice magazine in mid-January and see an advertisement for a lecture series coming up in Nashville at American Baptist College, well-known Baptist college among National Baptists. And one of the speakers was Bishop Yvette Flood. I was floored by that.
And we need to be clear about something. This is just not an academic discussion. This is not just a lecture. She is literally Tuesday night, March 17th, going to be preaching from the pulpit. And you say Christians need to draw the line in the sand and say, this is not biblical, this is not right, and it's certainly not a good example for the impressionable college-age students at American Baptist College there in Nashville.
Absolutely. I grew up in National Baptist Convention churches. I've been a part of the National Baptist Convention as a pastor from age 21. I'm now 58. That has not been the culture. That has not been the affirmation of same-sex relationships. To see our only college that we own to go down this trail was quite disheartening and disappointing for me. And I debated Delmon Coates in 2012 on Laura Ingraham's radio show, so I knew who he was. He argued in favor of same-sex marriage. Pastor Delmon Coates, he's also one of the speakers at this lecture series.
And I might add, the only Baptist among the group, Yvette Flunder,
yes,
the United Church of Christ bishop, and then the third person is Alan Bosaic, who attempted to persuade the South African Dutch Reformed Church to affirm homosexual marriage.
Absolutely. And so when I looked at the lineup of who was speaking and I saw the commonality of all of them being advocates of same-sex relationships, and then I looked at the theme of the conference that dealt with justice, and they defined justice as being inclusive of advocacy of gay rights and same-sex relationships. And it's pretty serious when you take a sin issue and redefine it as a moral issue. And when they compare the homosexual with the struggle of civil rights, they're comparing the sins of the homosexual with the skins of black people. And that is tragic, shameful, and sinful for them to do so. And someone asked me a couple of days ago, why isn't it discrimination? I said, well, when the homosexuals have been in slavery for 200 years, denied the right to vote, paid lower wages, denied housing in certain places, when the homosexual has been treated like black people have in the history of America, then we can make a comparison about them being some kind of victimized group. But until that time, there's absolutely no comparison. I know ex-homosexuals. I don't know any ex-black people.
Exactly, and that's my point. Even if that were to happen, the point is one is an immutable, unchangeable characteristic, and another is a sexual preference, a choice.
Absolutely.
Because, as you note in your own press release, you quote from Genesis 2, 18 through 25, which says in verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Actually, truth be known, God created each of us as heterosexuals. Those who have homosexual inclinations or act out homosexually are really heterosexuals who are just acting on a sinful urge, perhaps influenced by environment, but nonetheless an urge they should resist just as much as you or I should resist the urge to cheat on our wives.
Adam, you are 100% correct. I think Romans 1 echoes something similar. And another reason I'm strongly and publicly objecting to this, in Romans 1 it says that God not only doesn't approve of homosexuality, he does not approve of those who approve of homosexuality. President Forrest Harris knows that Yvette Flunder is a lesbian in a same-sex married relationship. And for him to know this and invite her in, to me, is criminal, given the fact that parents have trusted him with the care of their 18, 19, 20 years old, and he would expose them to that kind of influence and then make the argument that we shouldn't let first century worldview refer to the Bible govern our sexual ethics. I am appalled.
Oh, no.
Yes.
As if the Bible isn't living and breathing and a two-edged sword and inspired and inerrant as you and I know it to be.
Absolutely. So this is a scandal of the highest order that we are dealing with, and for history to record that this has happened two consecutive years, which I didn't know about it last year, and no one went on record to protest this. That was something that a group of us could not bear, and we had no other means because the school wouldn't cooperate with us to address the issue if the parents and even the students, because they're not going to announce, they didn't last year, that she's married to Shirley Miller legally, unless somebody informed the students and the parents and the pastors of the National Baptist Convention, they really would be ignorant of who Yvette Flundy is.
All right, well, you have put together a group of about 200 folks, most of whom are pastors, entitled the National Baptist Fellowship of Concerned Pastors.
Yes.
And you all are going to literally hold a press conference at the Renaissance Hotel Tuesday, March 17th at 10 a.m. Central Time as the American Baptist College is set to welcome with open arms these three speakers, all of whom affirm homosexual marriage, and one of whom is a confirmed lesbian who has been in a lesbian relationship for 30 years, and that's United Church of Christ Bishop Yvette Flunder in a relationship with Shirley Miller. Are either of these other two people, Pastor Delman Coates or Alan Bozaik, are either one of them homosexual to your knowledge?
No. Alan Bozaik, I believe is how you pronounce it, is a well-known advocate in South Africa against apartheid. I guess if that was Bishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela. Alan Bozaik arguably may be the third best-known advocate for overcoming and defeating apartheid in South Africa. But secondly, he's known for being an advocate for same-sex relationships. And he appealed to the Dutch Reformed Church to approve it, and after they refused to approve it, he resigned in protest. What I began to see was the common thread of those speakers was they were all same-sex marriage advocates.
Hmm.
And they all labeled it justice, which is a misnomer.
I love what you said in your statement. You said the board and the administration of the American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee, have adopted our vocabulary, but not our dictionary. You say this is a moral issue rather than one of social justice. What specifically did you mean by that when you say they've adopted your vocabulary but not your dictionary?
Well, the Bible speaks about justice. Amos 5:24, I believe, let justice roll down like water, righteousness like a mighty stream. When Micah 6:8, he has showed the old man what is good, and that is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. But when the Bible uses the term justice is, or when justice is used in the context of the civil rights movement here in America, it had absolutely nothing to do with gay rights, gay marriage, as Bernice King, the daughter of Martin Luther King, has been quoted as saying. She said, deep down in her sanctified soul, she knows her daddy didn't take a bullet for same-sex marriage.
Oh, my heavens, what a quote!
And so for those people to come along now and to tell us to conflate justice with a preferred way to have sex, that is criminal. That is horrible.
And I might add, a preferred way that is unnatural, immoral, and certainly unbiblical and unhealthy. Well, there are two action steps that
and
I want.
And unholy.
And unholy, surely. I want to encourage you to do two things. Number one, as Generation Radio listeners, I want you to consider calling the president of the American Baptist College, Dr. Forrest Harris, and politely object. You might get a secretary, you might get voicemail. No matter when you listen to this podcast, make it a point to leave a quick 30-second phone call and say, Dr. Harris, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible. I don't believe you should be affirming homosexual relationships or homosexual marriage, and I would respectfully and strongly urge you to cancel this entire upcoming event, March 17th. Here's the phone number. Call 615-256-1463. That's 615-256-1463. As a member of the body of Christ, I want to urge you to take a stand and to make a difference. Also, you can sign a petition against what the American Baptist College is doing by affirming homosexual marriage and inviting these speakers to address the student body of 300 at the website change.org. That's change.org. We'll be right back with my guest. His name is Pastor W. Dwight McKissick of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. He and 200 others have formed the National Baptist Fellowship of Concerned Pastors as they speak out against this unbiblical move of the American Baptist College. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson on this edition of Generations Radio. You can send me an email with your feedback to talkradioadam@gmail.com. talkradioadam@gmail.com.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generations staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentations, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson here at generationswithvision.com. My guest by telephone line from Arlington, Texas is Pastor Dwight McKissick of Cornerstone Baptist Church. He has formed a new group called the National Baptist Fellowship of Concerned Pastors when he heard that the American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee, with a student body of 300, has decided to invite three active proponents, advocates of homosexual marriage, to speak and to preach and to lead worship at their college's distinguished Garnett Nebritt Lecture Series at the event coming up Tuesday, March 17th. I hope you will make it a point to call Dr. Forrest Harris, the president, at 615-256-1463 and sign that petition at change.org. I want to investigate a little further the background of the lesbian bishop, Yvette Flunder, from the United Church of Christ, who has been in a relationship, a lesbian relationship, for 30 years with a woman named Shirley Miller. Now, they're from California. They are now legally married. Yvette Flunder has an interesting Christian singing background. She is very well known, her voice, her name, for those who attend predominantly black churches across America. Tell me about the song, Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me, and what was the Bishop Flunder's involvement with that song?
The song was recorded in 1990 on an album entitled Love Alive 4 by the Walter Hawkins Singers, well-known singing group out of the Oakland, California area. Walter Hawkins pastored the Love Alive Church, I believe it's called, the Love Center. Yvette Flunder actually served as his associate pastor at the time. On that song, Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me, it has a very syncopated movement and beat that engages everybody. The message is just outstanding. I imagine that there's not a black church in the country hadn't sang that song. That's how I recognized who she was when I discovered she was now pastoring the City Refuge Church in Oakland, San Francisco area, and she presides over 40 welcome and affirming churches, they call it, which is a code language for a gay congregation. She's the bishop over those representing the United Church of Christ that does not believe in the authority of scripturally inspired, infallible, and errant word of God. And they affirm same-sex marriage in the United Church of Christ. She was rejected by the Church of God in Christ, a Pentecostal organization she grew up in, because they would not affirm her same-sex lifestyle. But the lady she's married to, Shirley Miller, was the second person to popularize the song Oh Happy Day with the same group, the Edwin Hawkins Singers, Walter Hawkins and Edwin Hawkins, the brothers, in 1967 at the Ephesians Church of God in Christ in Berkeley, California. That song was recorded. It went mainstream in 69, and Dorothy Combs Morrison was the voice on that. She left the group because the song was so popular, she went solo, so they had to get somebody to take her place, and she toured the country, and they recorded it again, and Shirley Miller is the voice of Oh Happy Day that just about everybody knows. You have Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me, married to Oh Happy Day.
Unbelievable. What I am intrigued by, in light of the decision by President Dr. Forrest Harris at American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee, is that the National Baptist Convention says that while their chaplains serve in a, quote, pluralistic environment, providing compassionate pastoral support to all individuals, presumably including homosexuals, which, of course, the gospel's for everybody, no problem with that, they are, quote, not to participate in any activity that implies or condones same-sex marriage or same-sex union, unquote. Well, that's the standard for the National Baptist Convention chaplain. Why is that not the standard for a leading university and a president like Dr. Forrest Harris? How are they somehow exempt from, most importantly, the biblical mandate, much less what the National Baptist Convention itself says?
Very, very valid question. And that's a question we're asking that Dr. Harris refuses to answer. I believe the president of the National Baptist Convention is going to address this and address it decisively. I believe in him. He's strongly opposed to same-sex marriage. But trying to wrap all of us our arms around understanding the legal relationship between the convention and the college, the governor's relationship, is somewhat cloudy and confusing at the moment. But clearly the college and the convention are not on the same page. And the question becomes, who left the gate open? There's a board of trustees at the college that, to me, are more responsible. In one sense, Bishop Flunder, the only place she's innocent is she didn't invite herself. She was invited into our house. And the question is, who invited him? Forrest Harris invited him. But the question is, who has permitted him? Who has not held him accountable for him taking his school in a direction far away from the National Baptist Convention? And that's the Board of Trustees. They are really the ones who need to be held accountable and to hold Forrest Harris accountable. Forrest Harris is simultaneously teaching Vanderbilt Divinity School. Vanderbilt Divinity School is... The dean is Emily Towns, who is also a lesbian, married to a woman or in a partnership with a woman on her staff.
What?
And, yes, and on the Vanderbilt's website, it makes it clear that their divinity school, they affirm same-sex relationships, and you're really not welcome to be on their faculty if you don't affirm same-sex relationships. So that's a conflict of interest, because Vanderbilt's theology and the National Baptist Convention theology is not one and the same on this issue, but Forrest Harris is trying to usurp the history and tradition of this school by making it a very liberal school and putting out a statement that says you can be faithful to Jesus Christ in a same-sex relationship, or you can be faithful to Jesus Christ in a heterosexual relationship. That may be the theology of Vanderbilt. It is not the theology of the National Baptist Convention, and he needs to be exposed and held accountable for this by that board that has left the gate open. Please let me tell this quick story about the man who owned the country meat house, and overnight a fox came in and ravished the spoils, and the next morning when he saw that, he was angry about what he discovered, but he said he didn't know who to be the angriest at, the fox that came in and ravished the meat, or one of his workers who forgot and left the gate open. Here's a case where the issue is, who are we angry at? Forrest Harris, he's ravaging those kids at the school by allowing this kind of influence in liberal theology to get into a school that is historically orthodox, biblical, and traditional, and taking the Bible literal. Do we blame him, or do we blame the people who left the gate open for Forrest Harris to do this?
Meaning the board.
Yes.
In Matthew and Mark, Jesus himself affirms the very clear teaching from Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So for all these supposedly brilliant liberal theological scholars out there who claim that you just need to abide by the red letters of Jesus, what did Jesus say? He never addressed homosexuality. Actually, he did, because he affirmed heterosexual marriage.
Now, not only did he affirm heterosexual marriage, he addressed the genuine, the authentic, and they'll train you to know what a genuine, authentic dollar bill is like, so you'll recognize the counterfeit when it comes. But secondly, when he talks about the Greek word porneo, from which we get the English word pornography, that addresses all sin, sexual sin outside of marriage. So that would include homosexuality. And Jesus also said, as it was in the days of Lot, and we know the issue in the days of Lot was homosexuality. So Jesus addressed it there. And every time he said, it is written, it is written, he affirmed the Old Testament, and we know the Old Testament, he addressed it there. So it's just simply not true when people argue that Jesus did not address homosexuality.
The event is coming up Tuesday, March 17th, where the American Baptist College, based in Nashville, Tennessee, with a student body of 300, will invite three active proponents of homosexual marriage, one of whom is a lesbian, United Church of Christ Bishop Yvette Flunder, who's been in a lesbian relationship for 30 years. She's legally married to her lesbian lover, Shirley Miller. They live in California. And it's all part of the lecture series at the American Baptist College entitled Ministry in Motion, Living Faith, Doing Justice. And my guest, Pastor Dwight McKissick of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, I think you have said it brilliantly, better than I've heard anyone say it, that the liberal Christians have adopted our vocabulary but not our dictionary. So when they even say the word ministry or the word faith or the word justice, we know what the Bible says about those words and what they mean, but they have totally redefined them. And to think that 20 years ago, not only would we be battling what the world is doing outside the doors, outside the church itself, but we would be battling the same sinful behavioral choices within the leadership of the body of Christ is just breathtaking to me.
None of us saw this coming. This is a wake-up call for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the next big fight in America will be over this issue. Matter of fact, Revelation 11:8 talks about a man laying dead in the street over Sodom. To me, that's an indication that sodomy was going to be a very volatile, deadly issue near the end of time. Race wars, although there's racial tension in America now, that's going to be pale in comparison to the faith fight and tension that's coming, and the wheat and the tare is going to get separated. Where you draw a line on this issue determines whether you are tare or wheat. This is what's happening now. The real church is going to be separated from a church that is not the authentic church.
Well, and apparently, according to one late-breaking George Barna study, the majority, I think 65-plus percent of so-called evangelical Christians under the age of 30 are in favor of homosexual marriage. We are losing this debate with the younger generation.
If evangelical means at its heart taking the Bible literally and authoritatively, somewhat at face value, I don't know that you can embrace same-sex marriage at the same time label yourself an evangelical.
It's a contradiction of terms on its face.
Exactly.
Well, that's what makes me wonder about all this foolishness. I mean, so many people running around these days name Christ as Savior, but A, their actions, and B, their public pronouncements are far from him. And it reminds me of what he said in Matthew 25, that he will separate the sheep and the goats. And many of the goats who think they're sheep are actually goats. And I think what I'm hearing, Pastor McKissick, you're saying is there's a whole lot more goats in the church than we ever thought initially.
Absolutely. Now, I'm told I've never, you know, been around sheep and goats for the most part, but there's some place, the only way you can know the difference, you have to check the feet. And on this issue of same-sex marriage, depending on where you come down on, you find out whether a person's sheep or goat. You check the feet.
Where are they running? Where are they walking?
Yes.
Where are they living? How are they living? Well, that says it all. There are two action steps we want you to seriously consider as a listener to Generations Radio. First, call the president of the American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee, with the student body of 300, Dr. Forrest Harris. He is the one ultimately responsible for giving the green light to this lecture series called Ministry in Motion, Living Faith, Doing Justice, where they've invited in three pro-homosexual marriage advocates, one of whom is United Church of Christ Bishop Yvette Flunder, who is a lesbian, who's been in a lesbian relationship for 30 years with Shirley Miller. They're legally married in California. The phone number to call, if you want to politely but firmly object, leave a voicemail. If you're listening to this during non-business hours, 615-256-1463. 615-256-1463. And I would also urge you to sign the petition that their group has put together, the National Baptist Fellowship of Concerned Pastors, change.org, change.org. Pastor McKissick, would you be kind enough there at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, to close us with a prayer that the people listening would talk about this around their dining room table, they would speak about it in their churches, and they would take a stand on these two action steps?
Our Father, our God, we recognize this is spiritual warfare. You warned us that there would be a great falling away near the end of time, and we're watching it before our very eyes. We saw it in Europe 1,500 years before we've seen it over here. But we bow our hearts and our heads, God, at this very moment to say, you are God. You are our God. We are your sheep. We submit. We surrender. We say yes to your word and to your will. And as we rapidly see our culture changing and legally marriage is being redefined, we commit ourselves afresh and anew to your word as being living, as breathing, and as being as fresh as the morning's newspaper. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson on this edition of Generations Radio, found at generationswithvision.com. Send me an email with your feedback about today's broadcast. TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com. TalkRadioAdam@gmail.com.